song.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, is everybody comfortable? Yeah?
Yes.
So thank you, John, for inviting me to speak. I'm really excited about what I'm going to share with you today. When I asked the Lord, what do you want me to talk to church about today? I felt like God saying to talk about identity and to share with you a bit about my testimony. I'm not sure if many people here have heard my testimony before, but God healed me from severe depression and anxiety, which was amazing. And he gave me an identity in him rather than the identity that the world had given me, or my feelings or whatever. So I'll just share a bit about me with you. So when I was a child, thankfully I was privileged that my mum took my sister and I to church every Sunday. Which, you know, is a blessing, because I can't ever remember a time in my life where I didn't know Jesus and didn't know that Jesus is God and that I could turn to him at any time, which is amazing, isn't it? Unfortunately, the church that we attended, it was very, my mum's laughing, it was very traditional. And although it was great that we got to know that there was a God and he loved us, I didn't really know anything about the Bible. It was more, you know, you are a sinner and you are not worthy as to gather up the crumbs come from your table and all of that kind of thing. So you kind of felt like, you know, if you listen to a service, you'd kind of feel bad afterwards that, oh, I'm not good enough and I'm not worthy. But again, I thank God, because seeds were sown there and we can see the harvest of that now. So we thank God for that. Should be an encouragement to all the adults that bring children to church as well. So I went through school and I didn't know who I was in Christ. I didn't know any of all of that. I had a really tough time in school, especially in my teenage years. I was bullied really badly. It affected me a lot. It affected my sense of self-worth. You know, as a 14-year-old, to be in your bedroom, locked in, you know, feel like you're trapped in your bedroom, and you can hear kids outside like making fun of you, and you can hear them. You know, it was awful, wasn't it, Mum? And that started to shape my identity, and I saw myself by the things that they said about me, and I saw my worth as being really low. You know, life went on, and I got into my early adulthood, and I kind of did what a lot of people do. I went off and did my own thing, you know, going out nightclubs and, you know, living it up, not so much. just did my own thing, really. And unfortunately, when I was 21, I lost my best friend. She had anorexia and she passed away. We weren't expecting it, were we? And that was really sad. And that really triggered a lot of depression and anxiety in me, to the point where I couldn't even make a phone call. It was really crippling. I didn't even want to walk into a shop, because I felt like everybody's watching me, they know I'm different, I'm weird. So my identity was really warped. It was nothing like what God says about me. So after that, I managed to get a job in London working for British Airways. So I thought that's going to be great, because I'll get to travel the world, and, you know, and I did. I traveled, I went to Japan, I went to Kenya, loads of amazing places. But how many people know that if what's in here doesn't change, and what's in here doesn't change, your circumstances are not going to change you. They are not going to make things better. a lot of people wish for, oh, if only my life was like this, or if only my circumstances were like this, then life would be better. But actually, it's what's in our hearts and in our minds that has to change before anything else in our life is going to change. So, thankfully, went to that new job, and you know, that went down like a lead balloon, and not the plane, but the thank God, but the job. And I got to the point where I was like, do you know what, God? Jesus, take the wheel, you know? I was like, this just isn't working, you know? I didn't realise God had a plan for me, and I could seek God and know what that plan is. I just thought I'd go along and do what I want to do and ask God to bless it. I didn't know that God loved us that much, that he is already predestined, that he's got plans, he's got special things in place for each and every one of us that's totally unique. So I just felt like at that time that I needed God in my life, and I needed to know God more. And I felt like him say to me, you need to get into my word. And thankfully, I met a guy called Seth during that time. It was through social media somehow. I joined this Bible study in Coventry, and it was just full of random believers. It wasn't a church or anything like that. And this guy, Seth, he discipled me, and he was so patient with me, and he started to tell me that, Emma, you are a believer. You've given your life to Jesus, which that means that you are a new creation. You're a new creature, and your identity now is in Jesus. You don't have to live by those things of the past. You don't have to live by those things that troubled you anymore. You don't have to live by what other people have said about you, which is negative. You don't have to live by how you feel. And I was like crippled with fear. And he would say to me, Emma, get your Bible. And he'd take me to a scripture. He said, turn your Bible to this scripture. And I'd turn to it, and he said, read it out to me. And I'd say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And I'd be like, wow, is this real? And he'd be like, it's real. And this is talking about you. You know, the Bible is our love letter from God to us. And I'd be like, you know what? If God is my light and my salvation, who actually shall I fear? If God, who created this whole world, who has all the power in the world, if he is for me, then what have I got to be fearful of? And he started to tell me who I was, my identity in Christ. And he started to tell me, look, God has given you joy. God has given you peace. God has given you a sound mind. And I started to be like, wow, hang on a minute. If I'm joy, then I'm not depressed. If I have peace, I don't need to worry. If I have a sound mind, I don't have anxiety. So I started to believe what God's word said about me. And I was completely healed from depression. And even now. And that's not to say that sometimes I don't feel depressed, or depression doesn't try and knock its ugly head on my front door. But I know what to do. And I know that that is not who I am. So even if I feel depressed, I'm like, no. Those feelings, you have no right to come and attack me, because God has given me joy, and you don't belong to me. You're not me. That is not me anymore. So my favourite scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says that if anybody is in Christ, so meaning anyone who's given their life to Jesus, who said yes to Jesus, he's a new creature, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Which is awesome, you know, when you've been bullied and picked on and whatever, and to know that you don't have to be that person anymore. That's erased now. It's a thing that doesn't exist anymore. It's awesome. But I'm just going to share with you. I want to share with you what part of one of the teachings that really helped me to like understand who I am and how this whole identity in Christ thing works. So it's kind of taken from a spirit, soul, and body teaching. So to do this, I'm going to need 3 volunteers. You're going to try and confuse me now, John and John. So do you guys want to come move over? So we've got three people here, but I want you to imagine these three people here as one person, because we're made in God's image, and God is made up of three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Book of Thessalonians says that we are made up of spirit, soul, and a body. And most people don't know the difference between a spirit and a soul. So I'm just going to explain everything, so how we work as a three-in-one being like God does. So, who wants to be our flesh? Okay, if you want to be the flesh, swap places. So, we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. So, Pastor John over there is our flesh, our body. So the body is the flesh. The body is where we is very carnal. It's where our five senses are. So our taste, feel, smell, what else? Look, hear. Yeah, have I got them all?
Yeah.
Okay. Eating, drinking, yeah. So this is also where we sin, where we fall, we fall short in the flesh. But not everything of the flesh is bad. But the bad things are in the flesh, if that makes sense. And now we've got our soul in the middle. Cyril is our lovely soul. And so your soul is basically your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality, your character. And then we've got our spirit, our lovely spirit here. So when you, so the Bible talks about being born again, doesn't it? And most people are like, well, what does that mean, being born again? Because, you know, we're not born again physically, are we? We're not, but it's a spiritual birth. And when you say yes to Jesus and accept him, his Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you in your spirit, and it becomes one with you. He becomes one with you in spirit. So, and he never leaves you. So no matter whatever you do, like if you might fall short, like Pastor John on the end might do something silly or something bad, but you're still sealed with the Holy Spirit here. And this Holy Spirit that is joined with your spirit to make you whole and make you perfect in him, that is where all the blessings are. That is where your identity is. And that is the new man. That's what, when it's talking about, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. This is what it's talking about, the new man. Now you might be thinking, well, it's all very good having that in my spirit, but how do I access that? How do I experience that in my day-to-day walk? So we're going to first of all talk about what we have in our spirit, because I know there's some people here who know what's in our spirit is what the Bible says in our spirit. That's how we know what's in our spirit. So can anyone just tell me a few of the things that we know, that who we are in Christ? Rita.
Love.
We have love.
Peace.
Yeah. Kindness. Awesome. Anyone else? It's the immortal part of this. Yeah. So we have perfect health in our spirit, healing. Yeah. We are more than a conqueror in our spirit. There's nothing that can separate our spirit from the love of God.
We're healed,
yeah. Completely been made whole, we're just saying, amen. So how do we access all these wonderful things that God has already done for us? He's already done his bit. Jesus said, it is finished. So basically, the soul is in between the flesh and the spirit. So when you're faced with a situation, like a bit like I was, you have a choice. So you can either choose to live by your spirit, or you can either choose to live by what the flesh is feeling. So in my case, before I knew who I was in Christ, I was cut off from the spirit. So my flesh was feeling fearful and anxiety and scared and all sorts of weird things. So do you guys want to link arms for a moment? Okay. So this is what I was experiencing. This is what I was living. I was living the soul. The soul was living out whatever the flesh wanted.
So if I was feeling angry or sad or whatever, fearful, I was living just dominated by my feelings and my flesh, which is not how God calls us to be. However, if you want to just break up a minute. When I met Seth and he started to tell me, well, no, you are joy, you have peace, you have a sound mind, you don't have a mental health problem, you have you've got Jesus in you. I started to believe it. And if you guys want to link up, and when I started to believe that, my soul started to agree with my spirit. And when my soul agreed with my spirit, it allowed the spirit to flow through into my soul. And whatever the soul chooses, the flesh will follow. So if you want to link up there, John. So I started to, so the flesh now is accessed the spirit through the soul. So I started to live out this joy, this peace, this enjoyment in life, you know, and be happy. I think at one point my mum said to me that, I don't worry about you like I used to. And yeah. And it's amazing. Yeah. Yeah, they all listened to me. Considering I was the youngest in the family, they did all listen to me because sharing these things. So this is how we access the blessings that are here. So another situation, I'll just give you an example. When I was in Bible college, you know, most Bible college students don't have a lot of money. And all the money in my bank account was stolen. And it's really good in Bible college because your mind's being renewed every day. You're constantly thinking what the word says because you're constantly being told what the Bible says. And life is just so good, you know. So when the money was taken out of my account, no, they left £1, didn't they? But when the money was taken out of my account, my response was, in my soul, was praise God, because Philippians 4:19 says he shall supply all of my needs. Spoken like a true Bible college student, right? And I was like, yeah, God is going to step in and provide, because I was so filled up on the word. So I was connected to the spirit the whole time. And then the next day, lo and behold, I received money more than off three different people, which was more than what I had in my bank account in the first place. And then I got the money back into my bank account that had been stolen. So it's an example of where, that's an example of where the spirit and the soul had come into agreement and the flesh had to follow. And this works, you know, this is just me showing you like a very simple way of sort of explaining this. You can stop, unless you want to stay like that. So this is just like a very simple way of me sort of explaining how things can work. So whatever circumstance that life throws at you, you can turn to the word and see what that says, and you can come into agreement with that, because the Bible says the promises of God are yes and amen, which means that the promises of God are all there for you. However, you have to, the amen part is you have to agree with it. You have to allow God access into your life. You have to allow that spirit, God, to access through the spirit so that you can live it out in your day-to-day life. Now, this is a bit simplified, what I've showed you, because there is also the heart to take into consideration. And I'm not exactly sure where the heart fits in. Somewhere around here, would you say?
Yeah, I would say spirit and soul.
Somewhere around here. Because it's not like a magic formula, like, oh, I'm agree for, you know, £1 million, and then tomorrow I've got £1 million. It's not like a magic, that kind of thing. Because you have to take into consideration your heart as well, condition of the heart. Because if we look at the parable of the sower sows the seed. And if you remember, the sower sows the seed on different types of ground. And in that, basically, the seed is the word of God. So it's everything the Bible says about us. It's everything that's in our spirit. That's the seed. And the ground that it goes into is our hearts. So we have to consider that, you know, that's why we have to keep renewing our mind and trying to get our hearts to be like good ground. So the heart, you know, the Bible talks about trusting in your heart, trusting God with all your heart. and guard in your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life, which you can see, it flows, doesn't it? The heart, it does literally flow into the flesh, or from the heart. So that's another consideration to think about. But that's basically how I received my healing from depression and anxiety and the hurt and the trauma that I'd been through. I mean, there are other things that have been traumatic that I haven't mentioned this morning. But these are like basic things that I'm sharing with you that have really helped me, and I still apply today, and they work. So I'm going to leave it there for now. But if there's anyone that wants to know any more, or wants to go in further, or do a Bible study about this kind of thing, and wants to kind of learn how to experience these things too, I'll be more than happy to spend some time with you on that. So I'm going to pass you over to the lovely Thais. And thank you to our spirit, soul, and body.
Okay, guys, so we just heard about just literally how our identity is in Christ and how we are made up, but also when as I've gone through my Christian life, sometimes I've heard people say you need to renew your mind, you need to guard your heart. I've never really understood how to do that. It's one thing telling someone they need to do something, and it really is another thing understanding how we do that. So if we take an identity and take in our mind and heart, the first thing for me that comes to mind is the armour of God. And you've all probably heard this before, but I think it's essential, because every day there are attacks on our minds, on our souls, on every part of our being, whether it be our families or ourselves. So equipping yourself and knowing the armour of God. So do we know what that consists of? Do we? Yeah? Do you think we can tell me?
Right, so
belt of truth. So belt of truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit. Shield of faith. Shoes of the gospel. Okay. And honestly, when I'm praying it, I say all those things and I declare that God goes before me. And I also say that he's behind me, because he is also my rear guard. You know, we fight against principalities and powers. They're not just going to come from us from the front. And for me, I would definitely say the helmet of salvation has been salvation to me. Because like I was saying, we often get attacked in our minds, you know. And it comes from all directions. So ensuring that you've got that helmet on. And when you are putting this armour on, saying it out loud. We need to start being verbal in what we're saying, because what we say goes into our hearts. So we need to constantly saying that to ourselves and equipping ourselves every day, putting that on. Putting it on our spouses, on our children, you know, because often we do forget, but equipping ourselves in that way. Sorry, I just need to go to 1 minute. So I'm not a note person, I just usually just reel off what I'm going to say. And just for those that don't know, if you don't know, because I'm not the greatest with knowing scripture off by heart, it's not my forte. I can speak about it, but that is Ephesians 6:11-8. Okay, if anyone wants to jot it down. So please be putting on your armour every day. What I'd next to go on to look at when renewing your mind, and I think it's a heart thing, we're renewing it as well, is looking at our heart and looking at if we're anxious. And something that's happened, that's a scripture that's really, really helped me in my walk with God is Philippians 4:6-8. And it says, do not be anxious about anything. Okay, so you're putting on that armour, you're putting on that breastplate, and you've got to remember that you're going to be attacked, but you can't let yourself be anxious. You've got to protect yourself. And in protecting yourself, protecting your heart means protecting your mind, so not allowing yourself to be anxious, but in everything, in every situation, praying and petitioning God and praising Him, praising for all what He does. This life is not perfect, and I'd say in one sense we are promised hardships out of everything, but it's how we deal with those. And as someone that's experienced anxiety, when you get into that state, it can be so hard to get out of. It can be so hard to find peace. But declaring that scripture over myself really helped me. Really, really helped my heart become peaceful, because God does transcend everything that's on this earth. And when you're anxious as well, I think often, this might sound harsh, but there is a time for crying and there's a time for kind of preparing and getting on. And I remember when someone told me that, and it really upset me, because I was in an anxious time in my life, very, very anxious. I was like, why can't I cry? Why can't I be like this? And there are times you need to let it out, because God collects every tear. He collects every tear we shed. But there also comes a time where He equips us in our mind and in ourselves to overcome that scenario within our life. And I think that is integral. It's integral to be empathetic for people when they're going through things and understanding that anxiety and that depression and what they're going through, but also to help them and lead them kind of out of it and equip ourselves out of it. There is nothing worse than having drama around trauma. Honestly, it just continuously perpetuates. But getting out of that is such an awesome thing. And I have the pleasure of being able to thank God, you know, for giving me the words, for giving His Spirit, for giving me the sword to combat that. It really is a blessing. I think I go on as well, and it kind of linked within it, is the tongue, the power of the tongue. I was given a mandate, which you probably all know about because I have said it, I was given Ezekiel 37 quite a few years ago, and I didn't really have the concept of it. And just to go into that, Ezekiel is at a graveyard full of bones, and God commands Ezekiel to call up these bones and to call life to them. And when I say life, this isn't a zombie army. This is he raises up these bones, and flesh and sinew is seen on them. They are raised up. They have hearts. They are beating. But what God really taught me through, which I didn't understand when He first gave me it, was the power in my tongue. That I have the power to not only confess over myself, but other people, life. That they will be raised up out of those bones. That they will not stay there. Even if they are, I will declare that over them, because we have all been given that authority. And we need to stand in that authority. And we need to understand in that moment we need to be equipped in our armour. And we need to not be anxious, because you've probably all experienced times here where God has said, and it is on the battlefield, go and give someone a word. Or, you know, you need to give the church a word, or, you know, it might even just be giving food to someone or money, or, you know, and we're like, oh, should I do it? Should I do it? You know, but in carrying out what God has said and prophesying and doing as He says, that brings life. That brings life to not only you and healing to yourself, because It's amazing how God heals us through when we carry out the actions he asks of us. But not only that, you know, he renews this mind and there's a seed being planted in someone else. You know, and life is breeding. So I would say it's really important to consider your tongue. And it is something I have heavily had to consider in my life. I used to be such a negative person and kind of live in that kind of, I suppose, self-pity. And it creeps on now and then. You know, we all have times of trouble and we're like, oh, you know. But I really have had to start confessing with my tongue and realise the power in it, the magnitude. It's phenomenal. When you start getting revelation of the tongue, it's just an amazing thing. And just to be able to speak into your spouse's or your children's lives. I mean, you're privileged to have that authority, you know, to prophesy. We talk about people being prophets, but we have the ability to prophesy into our spouses and children's lives. And we need to be doing that according to God's word, but we need to be doing that more and more. So I think I've skipped over some of what the scriptures are. So did I say that? Do not be anxious, as Philippians 4? I did, didn't I? Yeah. 6-8. You know, and in that, when you are anxious, think of the things that are positive in your life. And praise God for them. The tiniest thing. The fact your child breathes. And it might be, you know, I'm not a parent. And parenting is such a hard job. But the fact they're there. That you can see them. That you might have fallen out with your spouse. But actually, day in, day out, you are there for one another. Start praising God for that. Because God can turn those situations and turn your heart towards them. Or to whatever needs to change within their circumstances. Ezekiel was Ezekiel 37. I just read through the whole lot. I just think it's a really, really powerful word. And I think it is Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you speak negative things like Emma was saying, and you think negative things, that will be your life. And I'm not saying it's easy to get out of being depressed or feeling anxious, because it's not. You know, I'm just standing here and saying, oh yeah, just, you know, I've just declared the word and here I am. Look at me, you know. It's an ongoing battle. And that's why it's finding the smallest things in life to be thankful for and speaking life into them. It's ongoing. Sorry, I keep losing my page. And I think finally, when renewing your mind and equipping yourself, we need to speak positively. But if you can't find the words, go to God's word. Well, one that stands out for me is Deuteronomy 28. And it says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You, every single person in here, is the head. He has declared that over our lives. It may not feel like it. It doesn't matter how you feel. Okay? You are the head. And I'm telling you. I'm declaring that over you. Because he said, I can speak life into your lives. So you are the head. And you're not the tail. Ooh, lost it. Where's it gone? I was just going to read the whole thing. There we are. So the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be on top and never on the bottom. Isn't that amazing? We will always be on top. Okay? When God is speaking to us, though, it's not as the world sees it. Okay? Often we see on top as being the most prosperous person, and in the world often that's riches. There's different ways to prosper, and I'm not going into a message of prosperity because they don't know enough about it, but I would say we're very limited in the world's way that prospering is just riches. But he gives us the ability to get through what we need to get through. And prospering in life is getting up every morning and being able to thank him for life, for the air in your lungs, for your children, for your spouses, for your mothers, for your fathers, for everyone. That is prospering. What's the point of having all the riches in the world if you've got no one to share it with? It's a very sad state of affairs, and we see that across the board with the deaths that happen. So remember, and find Deuteronomy, and read it to yourself over and over and over again, and write positive things that have happened down. Just so when you're having a down day, you can go back. And I think, finally, another one which has really helped me is Psalms 39:14. I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Knowing that God inside, in your mind and your heart, that God is amazing. He is wonderful. And you know what? He shared that with us because he has said, he has declared we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's just, if anything from today, take those scriptures and just keep saying them to yourself. Even if you can't say them out loud, just repeat them to yourself. Or if you find it hard on yourself, declare them over your children or your spouses or someone around you, because it will become second nature. And you will stop and you will start to think about what you are saying. And actually, when you do, it's a wonderful thing, because you then step back and you're like, oh, actually, I have the ability to build this person up. I have the ability to build myself up. And what a better world we would have if we were all building one another up. And that could be a little bit safer and a little bit happier. But yeah, so that's kind of my word for today. That's a really quite cliche thing to say, isn't it? But if you don't mind, I'd like to pray for you all. So Lord, would you like to join me, Emma? Or yeah. We'll pray together. We'll have to do this again together. Keep going.
Keep going, yeah.
They can get it as well. So Lord, we just lift this day before you, and we thank you for it. And firstly, just thank you for Emma, for the way she is so amazingly described how as a person we are three-dimensional like you, Father God, and shown how our identity is in you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that this word today touches everyone's hearts, Lord, that their minds are renewed, Father God, that their hearts are strengthened, Lord, that they would know your joy, Father God. And Lord, I just declare if there are any dry bones in their lives, Father God, that they will just reap life, Father. That no dead, nothing that is dead is allowed in these people's lives, Lord, that their lives will prosper in every single area, Father God. I declare that over them. We decree that over them, Lord. Lord, you have called us all, and we are all priests, and we are all kings. And as kings, we will proclaim your word. We will take this place. We will take this city, Lord God. And Lord, it will be in your name, Lord. And Lord, we will know that you equipped us, Father God. So Father, I just want you to thank you for these lives, Lord. And Lord, I just want you to bless them today, Lord. Just bless them, Father God. And Lord, just give them a nudge, give them a hug, speak to them how in each and individual you speak to them, Father God. And let them know that you know every hair on their head. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for Heartbeat Church. It's such a blessing to all of us. And I just thank you for Thais and the word that she's just shared to encourage and inspire our hearts towards God. And I thank you that Thais could have easily declined this morning to talk, but she pushed through and was able to deliver an awesome message to us all from your heart to ours, Lord. And I just thank you that every single person in here is so special to you. And that everyone here is here for a purpose and part of your plan. And it's not by chance, but it's because you love us so much. And help us, Lord, to draw closer together as a body and connect more with one another. And
and be there for each other as the family that we are. And we just thank you for the privilege that it is to be part of this church and part of your body and to know you. And I just pray that this week each one of us will know you more and more and more. And just thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us and everything that you are. And we just love you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, everyone. Oh, it's great job.